One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sometimes, in the moment, all we can feel is like the pain of the rejection, the thing that didn't work out, that we really wanted to work out. But I think when time passes, in hindsight, you know, in context of your life, when you look back at it all, I think that more often than not, you'll look back and be like, thank God I didn't get what I thought I wanted.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is feeling so very restored these days, okay? That's what my aura ring has been telling me. My aura ring has been like, you've been getting in a lot of good restorative time. What's been different these days? And I'm like, aura, you don't know this about me, but I have not, over the last like year or so, really been in an amazing routine like this. I'm telling you, the reason why I'm getting in so much restorative time is because I am back in a routine and it feels so good. So good. Okay. I feel like I've probably been home doing nothing for maybe 2.5 weeks at this point, 3 weeks maybe. And quickly, I have sprung into attack. I have got myself committed to a routine and I have been feeling so good about it. I'm one of those people that, like, if I know that something is on my schedule, I can't relax about it. Like, if I know that I have a commitment at 6 p.m., it's not like, oh, I get the whole day to relax before this thing at 6 p.m. No, that's never how it's going to sit in my body. I will wake up that morning and I will spend all day being like, okay, I've got to be ready for this thing at 6 o'clock. I've got to do this and that. I've got to make sure all these things are like trying to make sure that I get everything done, that it's all sorted before 6 o'clock. But when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't owe anybody anything today. There's no deadlines. There's no plans. There's no meetings. There's no nothing. Okay. No one needs me today. Oh, I love not being needed. That kind of relaxation that comes from waking up in the morning and being like, I have nothing on the schedule versus knowing I have this thing coming up that I have to prepare for, that is like a low level, I'm being dramatic kind of example of how I do actually feel about preparing for travel. When I know I'm going to be traveling, when I tell you I spend the 7 to 14 days before I actually leave stressing out about the fact that I'm going to have to travel, trying to prepare my life, my workload, my home, everything for the fact that I'm going to be leaving. Like, it throws me off. It throws me off. I hate to be so fucking type A, but I am. I just am. Okay. I don't understand how people live happy lives traveling constantly, which is funny because I travel a lot. I do. I travel a lot and I have an awesome time traveling and I live a happy life. Okay. I do. And also, I love doing nothing. I love waking up in the morning and thinking to myself, I have nothing on the to-do list. I can do whatever I want today. The kind of freedom and whimsy and joy I feel to have nothing on the schedule, it is euphoric to me, okay? It's fucking orgasmic even. It just feels like it's been so long in my body, starting from like October. Since October, I have not had true, uninterrupted, no plans looming, alone time since October. Because to me, there is a difference. I understand I'm crazy, okay? I know this about myself. You don't even tell me. You don't have to tell me. I understand, okay? It's a prison up here. I haven't felt like I've had alone time since October. Obviously, I have, but it was always alone time that I was like, I've got to get this in because I've got to do XYZ. I've got all these social plans on the docket, so I've got to squeeze in this alone time. That is not the same as having alone time where I get to sit here and be like, and no one needs me, and no one's thinking about me, and nobody's going to talk to me, and I just get to sit here in silence. It's so awesome. It is so awesome. But when I look at these people who are in like constant states of travel, people who travel for work or are just like, they go to a new place every single month, which at some point in my life, I had aspirations to be like this. I was like, I want to travel somewhere new every single month. Quickly discovered that lifestyle just isn't for me. That lifestyle just is not for me, okay? I love being social. I love traveling. I love spending time with my friends, the ones that live in New York, the ones that don't live in New York, and also a bitch loves being alone. I can't tell you how nice it is to have a regular bedtime, to go to bed at like a similar time every single night, to wake up and cook myself all of my meals instead of having to eat out. To get in my morning walks, to have the like mental space to carve out time to do little things for myself throughout the day. I just feel like I've been in panic mode for so long where I'm like, I'm running out of time. I've got to do this. I'm late to do that. I have to do. So it's amazing to be on time and to have time and to just have a little bit of silence and peace and truly restorative time. According to my Aura Ring. I love being in a routine. I love having the mental space to like run an errand in the middle of the day without feeling like it just ruined my whole to-do list. Do you know how awesome that is? To be like, I actually have such a grasp on my task list right now that I can go walk to the grocery store, pick up two or three items several times a week rather than doing one big grocery haul, because I'm like, oh, it would be so nice to go on a little walk throughout the day and just pick up whatever items that I need. To have like the mental space to be able to make that call, it sounds so small, but it really isn't, because so often I'm like so stressed and scrambling to get everything done on time that I'm like, I don't possibly have time to do that. I'll just get it delivered. I'll just get the groceries delivered. I'll just, you know, get Uber Eats for lunch today, whatever, because I'm always running out of time. I never feel like I have time to do anything. But now I feel like I have time to do everything. I have a new lease on fucking life. Another community win is that as of last night, the Alamo Drafthouse workers that were on strike in New York City have won. All of the fired workers got their jobs back. So we are locked and loaded, getting ready to go back into patronizing the Alamo Drafthouse. I think I'm probably going to end up there tonight. Okay, another thing I've been loving, not booking my movie tickets until I get there. And instead being like, okay, I've got to do XYZ today. I've got to film the podcast. I've got to film something else. I got to make sure this YouTube video gets live right after this. I don't know what time I'm going to be able to make it to the movie theaters. So instead, I'm just going to wait, see whenever I manage to get myself to the theaters. And then I'll see whatever movie has the closest showtime once I get there. A little rogue, okay? A little too last minute for my liking usually. But there's so many movies that I haven't seen right now because I haven't been to the movie theaters all that much during the Alamo Drafthouse strike, obviously, because I wasn't going to Alamo. Point being, we're going back to the movies and I am so excited to now work solo movie time back into my routine, because that is the best introverted hobby there is. Going to the movies alone is one of the most truly enjoyable things that life has to offer us. So I am looking forward to getting in some good solo movie hours. And hopefully I do end up getting there tonight, because that would be awesome. All good things. Okay? We've had a lot of wins lately, but life is all about balance at the end of the day. So I have something to complain about. I can't tell you the amount of genuine rage I have felt that pulses through my body every time I remember that there were people who were either invited or had tickets to Coachella this past weekend and did not understand nor appreciate the cultural significance, the magnitude of the performance they were gifted enough to witness when they got to see or had the opportunity to see Lady Gaga perform Mayhem for one of the first times ever. A performance of that caliber, of that scale, is not something you see often in this lifetime, okay? When I tell you, I saw one or two people post that they left Coachella before Gaga performed. My face felt hot. I was sweating. My throat went really dry. I was like, I need to sit down. My vision's going blurry. Like, I can't believe how absolutely fucking twisted you have to be to do that. I can't imagine how twisted you have to be to make a decision like that. What do you mean you left Coachella before Gaga's set? Don't piss me off. Seriously, do not piss me off. Because how are you gonna leave the show before the best performer comes on? Okay, what was the point of going to Coachella if not to see Lady Gaga eat these bitches up? Okay, I've always said that, like, I don't care if Gaga's music isn't your kind of music, you have to see her perform at least once in your lifetime, because she does it in a way that no other bitch is doing it, particularly at fucking Coachella. At a time like this, when Mayhem has just dropped a month ago, this is her first, like, big performance of the album. To get to witness something so truly special and unique and important, and I can't even talk about it. I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't fucking fathom it, okay? That's problem number one. Problem number two was just understanding that these people got invited to Coachella and I fucking didn't. Like, sorry? Literally, Coachella seems miserable. Can I just say that? Coachella seems miserable. It seems like a terrible time. I genuinely don't have much of an interest in going to Coachella. I mean, like, maybe I'd like to do it once just to say that I did it. But the only thing that was the driving force behind me wanting to go to Coachella this year was the fact that Lady Gaga was headlining and it was going to be Mayhem Central. I can't think about it too much. It's going to upset me. Listen, I tried manifesting. Clearly it didn't work because I was not invited to Coachella. But I'm like, what a fumble that was. What a true God-honest fumble that was, that these brands didn't invite me to fucking Coachella, because it would have been a fantastic investment. You know why? Because I would have charged you $0. Okay? You give me the ticket, I give you whatever you want. Do you understand the amount of free labor I'm willing to do for a Gaga ticket? You don't. You clearly don't understand. Because if you did, you would have invited me. If you understood the amount I was willing to do for you, the amount of dicks I'm willing to suck to get a Gaga ticket, you underestimated me. You bitches underestimated me and you fumbled. You fucked the budget. And for what? For what? Okay? The fact that people were paid to go to Coachella, they were paid thousands of dollars to be present at Coachella, because obviously these brands are comping their flights, their lodging, the ticket itself, and then they pay them to actually post. When I tell you, you didn't have to do any of that. When I tell you, you could have just given me the ticket, I would have figured everything else out. Like, fumbled is an understatement, and I say that so wholeheartedly, because what the fuck? Who would have had a better time than me? No one. No living person would have had a better time than me. Oh my God. Can you imagine if me and Morgan were... I can't even talk about it because it's actually going to piss me off. The fact that there were people there who were skipping out on her performance. People who had tickets and didn't stay through Gaga's whole fucking set. Like, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. You didn't deserve those tickets. I did, you motherfucker. So I'm grateful to be in a routine and to not have been traveling. And also, I'm going to bitch and moan about the fact that I didn't travel to Coachella Valley to see Lady Gaga perform. So that's the duality of man right there. I'm giving you anything and everything, bitch. Okay? You'll never pin me down. But obviously, I was all over the Lady Gaga subreddit, just indulging myself after this performance, seeing what the people were saying. And Lady Gaga being accused of satanic rituals is a recession indicator. That's maybe even the biggest recession indicator of them all. We are so back, people. Welcome back, 2008. Like, I saw a video that some guy posted earlier today. This was on Reddit, so I have no idea who this guy was. But he was talking about Lady Gaga's Coachella performance and how there were so many satanic elements, and specifically talking about abracadabra and how many satanic elements are in the lyrics of that song and the way she chose to portray it on the stage at Coachella. And this guy, he must have been literally born yesterday. Unfortunately, he did look like he was 40 years old. So aging timeline is really moving rapidly for him. But he kept being like, this never would have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. She never would have gotten away with this in the early stages of her career. And I'm like, sorry, where were you? Were you not here? Because that's kind of the whole gig with Gaga. I'm just a holy fool, but baby, it's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Judas, baby. Where the fuck were you? The pandemonium that woman caused releasing Judas. Like, come on. Also, this upcoming Friday, when she is performing at Coachella again, is the year anniversary of Judas, and it's also Good Friday. Kind of fucking awesome. They're gonna run wild with that one. But I love that this guy was like, Lady Gaga's doing satanic rituals, and it's because we're having like some collapse of society that's happening right now. The end is near. This never would have happened a decade ago. And I'm like, no, but it literally was happening a decade ago. It literally was. Like, what are we talking about? Where have you been? This is awesome. People are calling Lady Gaga satanic again. Guys, this is good. We can have small wins. It is a recession indicator, and it's going to be, listen, everything is bad. Literally everything is bad. All you can do is laugh and celebrate the fact that Lady Gaga gave us a new album. That's all we have. That's all we have to cling on to. It literally is the year 2008. All we have is the music, baby. Now keep fucking dancing. Dance or die, motherfuckers. Also, speaking of Reddit freaks, because I was in the Gaga rabbit hole, I didn't realize that people were being like real freaks about her and her fiance. Some people are bizarre. Can I say that? Some people are fucking bizarre. I saw people on Reddit talk. I'm so glad I don't know anybody like this, and I never will. I saw people on Reddit that were being so weird about the fact that her fiance is credited as a writer on Mayhem on a lot of the songs. And they were like, speculating that he was controlling her, or that he was like some really toxic dude and she's fallen into some trap of some kind, and they're really like concerned about her because he seems terrible, and I'm really unsettled by the fact that he's credited as a writer. Like, what credentials does he have to be a writer on fucking Mayhem? You guys need to get a hobby. Hey, quick suggestion, log off. What the fuck are we talking about? It's like these people have never interacted with another living, breathing person before, or like experienced love. Hey, have you guys experienced love and support and genuine kindness from another person before? Because you're behaving as if you haven't. Like, seeing that her fiance was credited as a writer on many of the songs on Mayhem, to me, was so sweet. That is so sweet that she feels comfortable enough and truly like trusts him enough to include him in the production process of her album. Also, a lot of you are really overestimating what it takes to be given a credit on a song. Like, I'm sure this is just her and him having a conversation about lyrics, working through certain song changes. He gives her a suggestion, gives her a point of feedback that she loves. She takes it, boom, he's credit as a writer. Like, I don't think that it's as deep as that man holding Lady Gaga at gunpoint being like, and you're gonna write like this now, bitch. Like, relax. Everyone fucking relax. It is cute. Like, it is really sweet, actually. When I saw him credited as a writer, I was like, God, I love this for her. I love that she is with someone that she gets to share in her creativity with and, like, create with alongside and incorporate him into it, include him in it, that she feels comfortable doing that. Like, to create art and music the way that she does is so vulnerable and something she is so passionate about, and to include someone else in something that feels so precious to you really is a special thing. So seeing him involved in that process and how he was been and how he's been able to support her and inspire her is just like, God, that is so nice. And that is so refreshing. And also, Gaga has always said, now I'm just nerding out a little bit, but Gaga has talked so much throughout her career about how often in her relationships, the people that she was with would always, like, their relationship would take a turn the second she experienced some new level of success. This album blows up and her relationship sort of falls apart as a result. She starts going into acting and she starts getting recognition for her acting, and her relationship falls apart as a result. She goes into jazz, starts doing really well. She gets all this recognition. She goes farther and farther and farther in her career. She becomes a bigger and more monumental star. The image of Gaga becomes more and more unreachable, and this has threatened so many of the men that she has dated in the past. They felt threatened by her stardom, her fame, her, you know, the Gaga of it all. Gaga has talked about how hard it has been balancing her career with her relationships, because so often her success, her monumental success, has been a real strain on her relationships. I could be your girl, but could you love me if I ruled the world? And the answer was so often no, they couldn't. They felt emasculated by her success, by how much bigger and more monumental that she was than them and always would be. They would always be a side character to her because of how monumental her stardom is, right? So for her to find someone that doesn't feel threatened by that and that just wants to see her succeed and wants to have a hand in it and is genuinely curious about her, like, that makes me feel so happy for her as a fan. You guys are fucking freaks if you feel any differently, to be honest. To be on Reddit being like, he's really weird for supporting her so much. You guys are freaks. You guys are freaks, just so you know. Also, I saw some interview, I think it was an interview Gaga did with New York Times, and she was talking about her fiance, and she was talking about how genuine he is and how, like, pure their love is and how much she trusts him. And something that she was saying was like, I trust that he is genuine. I feel so much comfort in knowing that he is genuine because he is my friend. And that's actually something that I've thought about quite a bit recently in my life, like realizing how important friendship, true friendship, is in a partnership. I think this has been one of my reflections over the last year, is thinking about how I think with a lot of the people that I have been interested in the past, I don't know if any of them were ever truly my friend besides my no contact crush. He's been the only person that I was ever romantically interested in, that I felt I had a connection with, that I was genuinely friends with. So often I don't know, in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, well, we weren't really friends. Like, we were friends, but we weren't really friends. Like, not to my standard of friendship, we weren't. But this guy and I, we were genuinely friends in the way that he met the bar that is set in my life for friendship, which is a high bar, right? But I think to be, like, truly friends with someone, the person you're interested in, the person you're with, like, that is so important. Like, far more important than I ever thought about. Not that I didn't think it was important, just that it wasn't something that was ever the top of my mind. Like, when I was asked, like, what's the most important thing to you in a relationship? I think my gut answer is always to say passion, because passion really is important to me. I feel like I'm very attracted to passionate people. I get along best with passionate people. I feel understood the most by passionate people. Like, I just think that passion is a really significant trait to me in terms of attraction, and also just the people that I feel the most connected to. you know, the list goes on, the things that I could say in response to that. But friendship, being like truly friends with someone, is not an answer that I would have given in the past. But now it feels like that probably would be my answer. Passion is definitely still a part of that answer. But to want to be truly friends with the person you're with, like honest to God, fucking friends, that's really important too. And I just, when I heard that clip of Gaga talking about her fiance, I was like, wow. She's verbalizing something that I've been thinking over the last few months, and it feels so sweet to see her experience that and get that. Like, I just love to see the weird girls win. At the end of the day, I love to see freaks in love. I love to see Lady Gaga well loved. Okay, she deserves it. I just love it. I love her. That is my favorite parasocial relationship. That is my favorite celebrity whose personal life I am always rooting for. Lady Gaga, I hope you are happy and well loved, because you deserve it. When was the last time you needed to go to the doctors but just kept pushing it off? Maybe you're saying, I'm too busy, it'll heal on its own, or you just don't know which doctor to go to. Sometimes booking a doctor's appointment can feel extremely daunting. But thanks to ZocDoc, there's no reason to delay, because they make it super easy to find a doctor in your area that's right for you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking instant in-network appointments from over 100,000 different doctors across so many different specialties. From mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, dermatology, whatever it is, they've got doctors waiting to be booked over on ZocDoc. And this is a great reminder to me, who needs to find herself a new dentist at some point in the next 2 to 3 months. I'm giving myself 3 months to figure this out. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, are highly rated by verified patients, and are a good fit for any medical need you may have. Once you find the right doctor, you can see what their actual appointment openings look like. Choose a time slot that works for you and click to instantly book a visit. You don't need to talk to anyone on the phone. You can do it all on the website. Huge. Huge for people like me, okay? And appointments made through ZocDoc typically happen pretty fast, usually just within 24 to 72 hours of booking. And in some cases, you might even be able to score some same-day appointments. I personally used ZocDoc to find my dermatologist when I moved to New York, and ZocDoc made the whole process so much simpler. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and head to ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. So many audience submissions in the box these days, so let's dive into a few of them. Hey Maddie slash fellow March 5th Pisces. So after my ex and I broke up last March, I kind of started dating and hooking up immediately. For a lot of the year, I was planning to move or traveling, so everything was casual, and I had a lot of fun and a lot of sex with a lot of people. Now I have a job and I'm settled in a city, and that is starting to slow down because I'm off the dating apps and settled in a routine. It has been feeling a bit better to slow down. However, the one thing that has not gone away is my insatiable sex drive. I have toys, so that's not the problem. I just crave the physical intimacy with another person, but sometimes it would leave me feeling empty. Additionally, as a very flirty person, this is making it a bit hard to differentiate new friendships with potential lovers, and I don't like that my brain can't disconnect that. What has made you feel the most sexually fulfilled, even if you're not having sex with other people? Open to other thoughts as well. Love, horny in Atlanta. So for me, the thing is, like, yes, I have a high sex drive, and also as I got older, sex became a lot more complicated for me emotionally. For a lot of reasons. Number one, I just felt like so often the emotional turmoil that I was experiencing during casual hookups was actually making sex significantly less enjoyable to me. Obviously the second thing, my relationship with sex changed immensely after I was assaulted. Sex really hasn't been a regular part of my life since then, which is maybe not something I talk about as much. And it's, I guess the reason why I don't talk about it is, number one, because it's not something that I feel like super impacted by on a day-to-day level, but it definitely has impacted my long-term relationship with sex in that now I'm completely shut off from having sex with someone I'm not intimately involved with and can really trust. Like, it just feels like a much more emotional thing to me now than it used to when I was younger. And not that it wasn't emotional then, it was. I just think, it was easier for me to push those emotions in a box and put them in the corner and be like, oh, well, I'll think about that later. And now it just is like the two are so tied for me. So even though I have a high sex drive, I often don't feel the urge to satisfy that drive with a partner because it feels so much more emotionally complicated to me that I'm like, the satisfaction of my sexual urge and being intertwined with another person is sort of like, that's a big leap to me, but that makes sense. You know, like, I've had a more complicated relationship with casual sex. I've had an influx of negative experiences. I've been assaulted. Like, I have trauma associated with sex. So it makes sense that I would want to and need a certain baseline of care in order to really want that and associate it with like my own like true sexual joy and like satisfaction without stress or anxiety or you know, any of the more difficult things that come with having sex with a new person. Like, it's more complicated for me. So I don't know what your personal story is or why having casual sex sometimes leaves you feeling empty. I think that's a common thing, though. I think a lot of us start to feel that way. I also just think like the state of bodily autonomy and women's rights in the U.S., it doesn't exactly make for a super sexy environment. I just think the truth is that sex drive is so much more complicated than like, oh, I'm horny, so I'm going to do this thing to relieve that because that is what I do when I'm horny. Like, a sex drive and our relationship with sex is so much more complicated than that. May it be for personal reasons or political reasons or trauma or, you know, just a shifting sort of feeling about what it is that you're comfortable with at this stage in your life, what it is you're looking for. Lots of things, you know, it's not so simple as just like, I think you're hot and so we're gonna fuck and that's gonna be that. Like, anyways, all of that being said, I can definitely empathize with having a high insatiable sex drive, but having sort of more conflicting feelings when it comes to actually having sex with another person and sometimes having it leave you feeling kind of empty. I think honestly, for me, a lot of it has been acknowledging that this thing inside my head that seems really awesome and would be so much fun to me actually requires a certain level of emotional intimacy as well. And without that, it actually isn't fun for me. It's actually a little triggering for me without that thing. So in order for me to feel safe and have like enjoyable, fun sex that I can really indulge myself in and experience my pleasure in an intense way, like, I need that kind of emotional security and comfort. So casual sex is not going to give me that. I know that I'm not going to have a good time with that. I'm going to leave that experience feeling worse. So let's not do it. The thing that I'm craving is not that. It's actually something completely different. And it's something that I don't have right now. You know what I mean? Like, not that I need to be in a relationship with someone in order to feel comfortable having sex with them, but more just I need to have an established rapport with someone. We need to trust each other. We need to be like involved in each other's well-being in a more intimate way than just like, you like me because I'll have sex with you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have any interest in being that person to someone because I require a little bit more care because of the things that I have been through in my life and how they connect to how I experience my sexuality. And I think realizing that casual sex actually wasn't going to satisfy my sexual urge. Like, okay, maybe I'll experience an orgasm, but that is not the same thing as like really feeling sexually satisfied. The same way that you might feel like, oh, I have sex toys, but that's not really satisfying things. That's exactly how I felt looking at like my experiences in casual sex. Like that wasn't satisfying me. Having an orgasm with another person wasn't the thing that satisfied my sex drive, because I left those experiences feeling like, oh God. And so I'm like, okay, what I'm craving is actually not like sex in its like basic form. What I'm craving is this kind of like deep, emotional, supportive, intertwined kind of sex. And that doesn't happen overnight. So how can I expand my sexual experience as a solo person? How can I expand and find more enjoyment in my sexual experiences when it is just me? And honestly, I think a lot of people would benefit from this, but I think often people's experience with their own sexuality sort of starts and ends in one specific context. Like people are masturbating in bed before they go to bed. And it's usually quick and they just hold a vibrator there and they sort of, you know, in and out in 5 minutes. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that does the trick. However, I think that we can be a little bit more creative and a little bit more sensual with ourselves in how we are experiencing our own sexuality as an individual. Like, I think that we get into these routines with ourselves where we're always exploring our sexuality in the exact same way. Always at the end of the day, in bed, maybe you pull up a video on your phone. It's quicker. We get straight to the chase here. Like, it's just you. So what are we doing all the fancy parts for? But what if the fancy parts were necessary? What if it was fun to put on a little bit of lingerie just for yourself to watch yourself remove it in the mirror? What if it was fun to incorporate other kinds of play beyond just vibrator to clit? What if we took our time? We got a little sensual with it. We really allowed ourselves to indulge in our sexuality beyond just like, I have this toy and it vibrates, so I'm going to put it here and that's it. What if there was more? What if we could experience our sexualities in a more like indulgent, celebratory kind of way? We just don't. We don't go the extra mile. We don't put in the extra effort when it's just ourselves. Because it's like, you know, who am I putting this on for? Who am I doing all this for? But it's like, you might find that you would like it. And also there are so many different devices, accessories, if you will, to the vibrator itself that I think can sort of spice things up within your relationship with yourself. Balesa, who I love, they put out a line of sex furniture more recently, and they have one that's like a trapezoid, if you will, and there's a hole at the top of it and on the side of it that you can put a vibrator, so that you could, if you put it on the side, you can like just sort of rest it in between your legs so that it stays in the right spot. Or if you have it on the top, then you can ride it. And it is awesome as someone who owns it. I just think that it is a fun way to sort of spice up how you are experiencing your own pleasure when you're by yourself. Because so often we get into these routines where we are experiencing our pleasure when it's self-inflicted in one specific way. So obviously you get bored of it. The same way that you would need to like infuse a little bit of spice, a little bit of something different into your relationship with a partner. Why don't we do that with ourselves? So I think that could be absolutely something to consider. I understand that there is like a longing for physical intimacy and affection with another person. And I totally hear you on that. I think the conclusion that I've come to with myself is just that I am comfortable sitting in my yearning and longing to experience that kind of intimacy with another person again. I'm comfortable waiting until I find someone that I feel truly comfortable with, because I know that I won't feel satisfied if I don't do that. though. All in good time. But really, I think what has made me feel the most sexually fulfilled in my own individual sex life is making sure that I am actually spicing things up in the way that I am seeking out self-inflicted pleasure. Do something a little different. I recently got rejected from a master's program that I really wanted to get into. I have the tendency to put all my eggs in one basket and get too excited about one thing. I didn't prepare for this rejection, and I got really excited about moving to Spain and studying the thing I'm passionate about. On top of that, I just got back from traveling the past 5 months in South America and have moved back with my parents. I don't have any friends there anymore, and I feel a big depressive episode coming. I feel really lost and have no sense of direction for the future anymore. I also fell really hard and deep for this girl in Colombia, and despite still being in contact, she has been very distant, and I feel stupid for being so emotionally invested in her, still despite being far away. All of these factors are making me feel numb and feel convinced there is not a lot of joy left. So how do you deal with finding your place in the world, regaining a sense of self after a chapter closes, and detaching from a connection that I feel I will never have again in my life? For starters, I don't think that you should feel stupid for being so emotionally invested in someone. For falling hard and falling deep, for having the courage to fall hard and fall deep. I think it is a beautiful, wonderful thing to have the capacity to love someone like that. It is something that you should feel proud of. It is a brave thing to choose to love someone despite the odds. I've talked so much about moving on recently in my content and just feeling like it's more abstract than people give it credit for, and just like, you know, feeling really resistant to the girl bossification of moving on, if you will, and like this pressure to be totally emotionally numb and cut off from everything, and, you know, kicking ourselves from still being hung up on someone or having a crush, being emotionally invested, whatever it is. Like, I feel very critical of perspectives that make us feel guilty for continuing to love someone. So for starters, I don't think that you should feel guilty for that. In fact, I think it is something to celebrate. I think it is a wonderful thing. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think it should be evidence to you that you are capable of continuing to love many people like this throughout your lifetime. We can and will meet so many significant people to us in our lives. The beautiful part about having a heart like that, having the courage to chase after feelings like that, is that so many doors are going to be open for you in the future simply because you had the courage to try. When a connection that feels really significant to you comes to a close, I think it's normal to feel some sense of like, well, where do I go from here? What comes next? Like, will anything ever compare to what I felt with this person? And I feel like usually, as time passes and you meet new people and your life moves on, you'll realize that it wasn't necessarily about this specific person. It was about you. And once you learn that you have the capacity for love like that, and it wasn't this magic person who existed in a, you know, black hole and nobody else in the whole world is like them, I really do think that life starts to open up a little bit. I think that it would be statistically unlikely that you would never meet another person that you could connect with like this ever again. I mean, really just looking at it from a numbers perspective, of course there are going to be more people that you connect with like this in your life, but like, how beautiful is it to be able to use this as proof that this is out there for you? But I understand in the moment, sometimes it's hard to imagine, you know, this future hypothetical person that you could connect with as much as you connect with this person. But I think the truth is that it's like, it's hard to visualize when you don't have someone to directly connect it to. You know, it is hard to be like, well, I'm holding out hope that there is someone else out there that I will feel this way about, even though you are the only person that I have ever felt this way about. You're the only proof I have that this feeling is possible. I understand why in the moment it can be difficult to imagine that there could be more out there for you in terms of loves of your life, but I promise you, there is many. You will have many. This is one of many. But it's normal to feel disappointed, and it's normal to feel sad, and I'm so sorry you didn't get into the master's program that you really wanted to get into. And honestly, if I were you, I wouldn't regret getting excited about that thing and, you know, really holding on to that hope and rooting for yourself, I think that that's fine to do. Sometimes it does make processing the ending a little harder, but I think to allow yourself to experience that excitement and that hope is really important. A quote that has resonated to me in periods of my life where rejection felt abundant and I felt like doors that I was trying to open were slamming shut right in my face and I was looking around like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? A quote that has always rang relevant to me in situations like this is just, rejection is redirection. And any door that's closing, a few years down the line, it will become obvious and evident to you why that door had to close, why that thing didn't work out. I am someone that really believes that things shake out the way they're meant to. What's meant to happen will find a way to happen eventually. And that, like, you know, maybe you get rejected from this master's program, but you end up applying to some different ones. You get into this different master's program that allows you to meet this person that you form an unbreakable friendship with. It connects you to this mentor that ends up really changing the trajectory of your life in a different way. Like, sometimes the rejections that we experience in life just redirect us towards other opportunities that end up being so life-altering to us. We will, in hindsight, look back at all of it and be like, thank God I experienced that rejection. Thank God the thing I wanted didn't end up working out, because if it did work out, I wouldn't have got what I ended up getting, what I didn't even know that I wanted. But God, now that I have it, I know that I needed it. You know, I think often in time we end up being better off because of the rejections that we've received in our life. I know in hindsight, looking at the ones that feel significant to me, I feel like I was better off because of them as well. Obviously, the example I use a lot when I talk about things like this is my YouTube channel and this being my career now. I made YouTube videos for 11 years until I was successful at it enough to turn it into my full-time job. For 11 years of my life, I did something and didn't experience the kind of success that I had hoped to, but I just kept at it. I just kept trying. So often during those 11 years, I would look at my content and be like, oh, but I think this is fantastic. I think this is so awesome. Like, why is it that I haven't found the right audience for it yet? And there were definitely times that I would be bitter as well, and I would compare myself to other people and be like, oh my God, my video was so much better than this one. How come this is the one that took off? Like, I look back at it all now and think that it worked out at the exact time it was meant to work out. And in many ways, I think I'm better off for it. I got to go to college. I got to really get better at storytelling and editing and learn from really smart people, really smart filmmakers who inspired me and changed the way that I see storytelling and how that impacts the content that I create now. I worked in retail. I had internships working for startups. I had 2 full-time jobs, working desk jobs, working in brand marketing, working in advertising and editing with other people before I started doing YouTube full-time. Do you understand how much I have benefited from having that experience? I think it's made me a better person. I think it has made me easier to work with. I think it has made me more reasonable, more empathetic. I think a lot of times people who have only known self-employment, or, you know, maybe they get big on social media at a young age and they never have to work retail or work a restaurant or work a desk job, work on a team with other people, they are a little bit harder to work with because they just don't have that experience. From day one, they've been able to support themselves just doing whatever the fuck they want to do. That is not the experience that I had. And thank God it wasn't. And I complained the whole fucking time because all I wanted to do was what I'm doing right now. But when I tell you it was so necessary for me to have all of that additional experience, for me to experience what it's like to work a retail job, to work a desk job, to work at a startup, to work alongside other people, it was so necessary for me to have that experience. It makes me better at my job now. And I bitched and moaned about it the whole fucking time because I felt like a failure. Like, I wasn't achieving the thing that I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was work on my own content, make my own videos, do the stuff that makes me happy, make money doing my own creative pursuits. That's all I fucking wanted. And looking back at it now, I'm so glad it didn't happen a second sooner than it was meant to. Sometimes in the moment, all we can feel is like the pain of the rejection, the thing that didn't work out, that we really wanted to work out. But I think when time passes in hindsight, you know, in context of your life, when you look back at it all, I think that more often than not, you'll look back and be like, thank God I didn't get what I thought I wanted. Thank God I was rejected. Thank God that relationship didn't work out, because these were the things that steered me towards what was eventually going to become some really profound, life-changing people and opportunities and moments for me. But I get it. When you're in it, it's so difficult to see like the bigger picture or where things could turn into and how things are going to evolve. I think that you just have to promise yourself that you are going to keep trying, you're going to keep being vulnerable, that you're going to keep putting yourself out there and searching for new opportunities and new ways to experience your own courage. That is the only thing you have to do, is make a promise to yourself to continue being vulnerable and courageous. And I sincerely believe that the right opportunities, the right people will cross paths with you eventually. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to feel lost. It's okay to feel like you don't have any direction. I think that you might be surprised to learn how many people feel exactly the same way that you do. We talked about something similar on the Patreon a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think that all of us would be very surprised to learn how many people don't feel 100% satisfied in the way their life currently is, or feel some kind of self-doubt or self-criticism for not being, you know, at this like peak position in their life at this point, or to feel like they won and then they lost it, and they, you know, at some point had their shit more together than they do now, and then they lose it and things change and they're like, oh my God, I feel like such a failure now because I used to feel like I had my shit more together than I do now, and like, how the fuck is that going to impact how I see myself and how other people see me and I experience the world and all of that? Like, you would be surprised how many people struggle in finding direction and feeling like they totally have their feet planted. I think we all do. And what I was talking about on the Patreon recently was that, like, this is not something you figure out once, then you have it figured out forever. I think so often the idea of like figuring your shit out, getting into that grad program, finding the partner, getting the apartment, moving to the city, like, we convince ourselves that if we do these things, if we check off all these things, we will have our shit together and it will just be like that. But the truth is that that's not how it works. And we will be in constant pursuit of finding direction, planting our feet, replanting our feet, feeling lost, feeling shook up, feeling confused, not having direction, and finding it again. That is a part of life. Nobody has it all together all the time. Nobody has it together once and then it's like that forever. That's not how it works. But so often we don't even really talk about these things because people feel so much shame in even admitting that they are experiencing failure or perceived failure, or, you know, these expectations that they have for themselves, even if in the eyes of other people they may be succeeding, in the eyes of themselves maybe they're not, but they feel too ashamed to even put words to that and share that with other people. Like, it is this is the shame machine, and we don't talk about it, and we just stay quiet, and we internalize that shame, and we convince ourselves that we are the worst and nothing could ever improve for us, and, you know, what the fuck do we do from here? But you have everything that you need to get through this period of time and to come out on the other side of it. You have everything that you need right now. The only thing you have to do is make a commitment to yourself to remain curious, courageous, and vulnerable. You make a commitment to yourself to show up as those three things, I promise you, in due time, it will work itself out. Rejection is redirection. You are in the thick of it right now, but I promise you, in due time, you will look back and be able to see what it is that you were meant to learn and take away from this era of life. And with that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show over on Patreon. For those of you that don't know, we do a Patreon podcast post show where the conversation continues. If you're interested in joining the Patreon, I post a bunch of extra content over on there. We do a monthly Patreon live stream, and we also have a Lover Girls group chat so you can join in on the conversation with other Lover Girls around the world. Thanks for listening. I love you guys so much, and I will see you in next week's episode. Goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.